Go with me, if you would, back to Ephesians chapter 3. Just a moment ago, in the Bible study, we saw how the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians what he knew about the gospel. Now he's going to tell them what he feels about it. All right. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Paul clearly was a man who thought very little of himself in the flesh. Very little, just like John the Baptist did. Just like all of God's true preachers do. In religion, just look on TV. That's all you got to do, is just go on TV. God's preachers are the opposite of what you see today in religion. Everybody's just so proud, and I'm just a man of God, and you just... God's men are the opposite of that. They asked John the Baptist, "What's your name?" While you see these men today plastering their names on everything. They asked John the Baptist, "What's your name?" He said, "It's not even worth it." He wouldn't tell them. "Are you that prophet?" Not even worthy to tie his shoes. Paul had that same view of himself, that same feeling about himself in the flesh. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "I'm the chief of sinners." When he looked within and saw himself, when he looked at himself, he was disgusted. He said in Romans 7, "I am a wretched man." Paul said, "Thank God it's not about what a man sees on the inside. It's not what's on the inside that counts. It's not what I see in this flesh. When I look inside this flesh, I see a wretched, wretched man." That's what he felt about himself. That's why it was so shocking to him that God would give this stewardship of the gospel to him. He said, "Unto me." He told Timothy, "Before, I was a persecutor of the very people I'm preaching to right now." Think about that. "I was injurious toward them. I murdered them. I blasphemed the very God I am preaching right now." So he said, "You can see my shock. You can understand my absolute shock over the fact that God would choose me. That God would choose me." Every true preacher, every true saint, every believer cries right along with him, "Why me? Why me?" He said, "I'm the least of all saints." I love what Charles Spurgeon had to say about this verse of Scripture. I just love this. He said, "I do not quarrel with Paul's language, but I do dispute his right to push me out of my place." He said, "Less than the least is a position which I had hoped to occupy. But he has taken it from me. And I would fain give him a touch on the shoulder and say, friend, go up higher. And I would like to humbly tap Mr. Spurgeon on the shoulder. Less than the least. Handling the gospel in any way is a very humbling thing. It brings you down. It brings you down. It's lowering. It's a very lowering thing. But even though Paul felt very lowly toward himself, he felt very highly of the ones he preached to. He did not say, I am the least of all the apostles. He said, I'm the least of all the saints. I'm the least of every saint. Every saint God has ever called. And the thing to know is, if God allowed that to be written in the Word, it's true. He felt it. He was not buttering them up. He meant it. He meant every word of it. Paul had a falling out with Barnabas. They didn't want to have anything to do with each other. They didn't want to see each other. He still felt, Barnabas is a greater saint than I am. He had to rebuke Peter to his face. He still felt, Peter's a greater saint than I am. All these letters he wrote under the authority of God, especially to the Corinthians, all the mess they were in, that poor congregation of people, bless their hearts. He still called them brethren, and he still considered them to be greater than himself. He esteemed them more highly than he esteemed himself. Verse 8, he said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach? Paul felt very lowly of himself. He felt very highly of the ones that he preached to. And he felt in his heart that the ministry of preaching the gospel was the greatest gift God could have ever given him. Sometimes it hits me. Sometimes it just for a minute, it just hits me that God has allowed me to preach the gospel. You realize what a privilege of God Almighty throughout all the ages and all generations and all people everywhere that He would allow us to believe the gospel. Greatest gift anybody could ever receive. You get to believe the gospel. Paul was never acknowledged. He was never given a title or a position by the religious circle of that day. He never had a best-selling book in his own lifetime. God allowed him to write half of the New Testament. Paul never had a big fat salary. Paul was not even received by most of the people he preached to. He was hated by most everybody, including his own kinsmen after the flesh. His own personal assurance in his calling was in his sufferings for preaching the gospel. That was his own stamp of approval. His sufferings for preaching the gospel. He was beaten for it. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was robbed. He is at this moment in time sitting in prison, writing this letter, and he says, I cannot believe that God would bestow so much favor on me. I just can't believe God would show so much kindness to me in giving me this wonderful gift. Look up at verse 7. He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I was made to be this. I was chosen to be this. I am what I am by the grace and the power of God. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. I get to go tell sinners. Sinners who do not realize their great need of it. Sinners who are not owed it. Sinners who are not deserving of it. I get to go tell them how great things the Lord has done for them. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count it all dung, because God has given me the great gift and the great honor of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have one message to preach. One message to preach. By God's grace, we will never stop preaching throughout this time here on earth, throughout all of eternity. The glory and the praise and the honor and the work of Christ. Our one message is Christ, Christ, Christ. That's it. Christ. That is it. The reason is because the message of Him, the message that looks into the things of Him and sees Him and hears Him and knows Him, that message is unsearchable riches. Now go with me back to the verse of Scripture we just ended the Bible study with. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33 says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. That's what unsearchable means, past finding out. They go infinitely farther than a man or a woman could ever dream of searching. Now, for those to whom this grace is not given, God's grace is freely bestowed, freely given to whom He will. To those that it is not given to, there is no beauty in Him that they should even desire Him. No beauty at all. A man was appalled one time over the fact that the world naturally does not see Christ in the Scriptures. Just appalled over the fact that the world does not see Christ in the Scriptures. A man responded to him by saying, "The world didn't see Christ in the Christ." He walked this earth for 33 and a half years. They did not see God manifest in the flesh. They could not. It must be given. Eyes to see must be given. Ears to hear must be given. A heart to believe must be given. But to you who have received the gift of grace, He is altogether lovely, isn't He? Altogether lovely, unsearchable riches. He is unsearchable riches. Now let's try to search just a little bit of the unsearchable. I'm not even going to pretend like we're going to search out the unsearchable. But just for a moment, let's try to fathom a small piece of the unfathomable. Let's try to describe just a little bit of the indescribable. Let's start with the riches of His person. All right? The riches of who He is. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwells all the fullness, all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, all of the judgment, all of the power, all of the ability of the Godhead. Everything that God is capable of is contained in him. Everything that we can see on this earth, everything that we can see in space, he thought of it, he designed it, he spoke it into existence. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that is actively continuing right now is being sustained by him. Everything that is breathing right now, every single thing that is breathing, every heart that is beating, the perfect order of all things, by him, all things consist. All things. Think about that. All things. Everything is continuing by his doing. Everything that is obeys him. Oh, the unsearchable riches of his sovereignty and his power. His power. While he walked this earth, the wind obeyed him. The waves obeyed him. The angels obeyed him. The devils obeyed him. Diseases obeyed him. The dead obeyed him. Everything obeyed the voice of the Almighty. And in seeing that, we have to realize that is him hiding his power. That's him hiding it from us. That's him veiling it from us. That's seeing him at the lowest point of his own self-humiliation. That's him humbling himself before us. Wait till you see him now. Wait till you see him now. High and lifted up. The things, the glory of the Godhead that we know of him in his flesh down here on earth. Wait till you see him high and lifted up. In all of his strength, in all of his exaltation. Wait till you see the person of the Almighty. The power, the sovereignty is absolutely unsearchable. It's unsearchable. His kingdom is unsearchable. Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. His throne is forever and ever. How long do you think forever is? Do something in your mind. Go into forever. Try to search out forever. How far can you go? It's unsearchable. We get so torn up over the 70 years that we have to live on this earth. Oh, it's just so cruel, you know. We have to live here for 70 years compared to eternity. What is anything that happens on this earth during this 70 years compared to forever? His person is unsearchable riches. His kingdom is unsearchable riches. His riches are unsearchable riches. He owns everything. He said, it's all mine. The Father said, he inherits all things. All things. If it is a thing, it belongs to him. The Apostle Paul was called up to the third heaven after he saw the unsearchable riches of his person, the unsearchable riches of his kingdom, the unsearchable riches of all that he has. Paul cried, I count everything here on this earth to be dung. It's dung. That I might win Christ and be found in him. What unsearchable riches that is. To have him is to have everything. If you have him, you have everything. You have everything. Let's see if we can get a small glimpse of the riches of his love. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Oh, the riches of his condescension. The riches of his substitution. Though he was rich, indescribably rich, yet for your sakes he became indescribably poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. That's love. That's love. Oh, the riches of his love and the riches of his compassion. I love every time in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when the Lord looked on a people and he had compassion on them. And he helped them. Oh, the riches of his indescribable love. Greater love hath no man. We think we know something of love. Herein is love. God gave his only begotten Son. Not a sinful Son. The spotless Son of God. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The payment. The atonement. The covering. Oh, the unsearchable riches of that atonement. That sin that the Apostle Paul described in himself, the sin that every single one of us has. Where that sin abounded, the unsearchable riches of God's own blood, his grace, his mercy, much more abounded. Oh, the unsearchable riches of the cross. People see that cross, and you talk about take something for granted. Take what happened on, you know. Last weekend, everybody wanted to put He is Risen on their church sign. And, you know, talk about all that. Oh, the unsearchable riches of the cross. His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His love, His accomplishment, His victory. Every bit of that abounded in the unsearchable riches of His death on the cross. We had a debt no man could pay. We were bankrupt, hopeless, helpless. And then all of a sudden, the unsearchable riches of the gospel rang out. God has put you in Christ, the Christ of the cross. And in Christ, there's no condemnation. Paid in full, free to go. Now let's take a look at something of indescribable value. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. This is indescribable value. First John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Oh, the riches of His resurrection, His ascension, and His intercession for us. Does it not bring indescribable comfort to your heart, knowing that He ever liveth to make intercession for you? The God of all heaven and earth is daily making intercession on behalf of His people. The Father hears Him pray. His dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of His Son. Why? It's because 5 bleeding wounds He bears, received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers. Aren't you so glad those scars aren't gone? They pour effectual, fervent prayers from the righteous man. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Every time I do something in all of my sin and wickedness, forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. Don't kill him. And then I do it again. Don't kill him. Don't let that ransomed sinner die. Can you imagine the riches of the fact that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous? Oh, the unsearchable riches of His person, His kingdom, His riches. Oh, the unsearchable riches of His love, His compassion, His condescension, His grace. Oh, the unsearchable riches of His mercy, His forgiveness, His redemption in His death. Oh, the unsearchable riches of His resurrection, His ascension, and His intercession for us. And we cannot leave the subject without acknowledging one more thing. The unsearchable riches of His return. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Can you imagine that moment? They're all coming back with Him. You talk about riches. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Where will that be? Where are we going to be with Him? He said it's a place where sin cannot enter in. He said it's a place where instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. He said it's a place where the desert will blossom and flourish as a rose. He said it's a place where lions and lambs are going to dwell side by side together. He said it's a place where everything breaks out into constant rejoicing. And the reason is because Christ is there. Christ is there. He said it is a life like you have never seen, never heard, and never imagined. Our Lord said, it's paradise. Now, if I say it's paradise, who knows what it is? You may not think so, but if God says it's paradise, it's paradise. Paul said, I cannot believe that I get to go tell sinners that. And I say the same thing. I cannot believe that unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. Come to Him. Don't bring anything in your hand. He does not need it. Just come to Him. All right, let's all stand together.